20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back, Packers fans, to the Pack-A-Day Podcast. It is Thursday. The weekend is almost here. It is your Thursday crew of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. How are we looking? I am Jason Perrone of the Pack-A-Day Podcast, along with Game On Wisconsin, the Quick Slants Podcast. With me, as always, Mark Eckel of Packer Report and Paul Brettel of Dairyland Express Cheesehead TV and his Packers Unrestricted YouTube show. Gentlemen, we just missed the news cycle by one day. Mark, we were doing so well last year, 2 years ago. We were spoiled, and it's like now the universe has caught up with us and we're a day late and a dollar short all the time.
Well, I think I know what happened. They know that we're the best of the group. I mean, everybody on Pack-A-Day is good. They're all good. Uh-huh. Everybody, but we're the best. I mean, let's face it. Let's just be honest.
You got to rock it.
Instead of just handing us the easy stories, they want us to come up with something different. So they're making it a little easier for the other guys that aren't quite as good as us. You know, all which right. is fine. I understand that.
So as obviously, I'm obviously talking about the news that broke on Tuesday, was it Monday, that Jair Alexander was signing his extension, and that's been talked about and discussed, and I know we're all very happy about that. So today, we have a topic of our own, which we will introduce, but before we do, we got to do the weather, as always. So without any further ado, we go as far east as possible. Our friend Alex out in Poland, who says, thought he might send in another weather report to help during the football doldrums. And he said, but the weather's not very interesting in Poland right now. High 60s to low 70s, mostly sunny. That doesn't sound too bad. I don't care if it's boring. I'll take that as boring all the time. He said, it's so dull, I started watching basketball again. And he is he's from Slovenia originally, so he is following Luka Doncic and the Mavericks. No comment from this Suns fan here. And then in staying with being as far east as possible, we go over to Oslo, Sweden, where Paul Brettel has an entry for weather this week.
Yep, so our friend Green Bay Packers Sweden from Stockholm, he's actually traveled south, left the country. He's in Copenhagen, Denmark for a Simple Minds concert. Said the weather was a little disappointing, 65-ish for the high, 45 low, hoping for better weather throughout the weekend. Sounds pretty similar to what it's been here. However, I'm happy about that.
Oh, we haven't. Okay, I'm sorry, Jess. Go ahead.
Well, no, take it away, Mark, because you have Mark coming in with an entry in Europe. I'll let you introduce the whole thing.
I actually have two now because we have another one from Oslo.
Okay.
I thought Paul had the same one I have. I have our friend Robin Erickson from Oslo.
That's right.
And he says tomorrow, meaning it was yesterday when he sent it to me, which was their National Constitution Day in Sweden. I didn't know that. It was 64, 18 Celsius, but 64 Fahrenheit. Nothing but sun, quite windy. He said he will sleep through most of it after my night shift, but barbecuing in the evening with celebratory drunken family members. Summer is here, at least for now. That's in Oslo. But now I also have, and you know, all of a sudden now I'm the weather guy. People want to send me their weather. That's good. Send it to me because Paul insulted me last week, says that nobody sends me their weather. And I find it amazing that we get all these, nobody from like, I don't know, Florida sends us their weather, but we get it from all over Europe. So we have Brussels, Belgium checking in with us. And I hope I pronounce my man's name right. It's Jurag. J-U-R-A-J? Is that Jurag? Is the second J silent?
I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine.
Well, Jurag, I'm sure you're listening. Correct us if we're pronouncing your name wrong, and I apologize if we are. But he says, hi, guys. Here's the weather report for Brussels for Thursday. Summer has arrived early. Wednesday will be sunny with 79 degrees Fahrenheit, and on Thursday, hot, up to 86 with showers and thunderstorms. So If you're in Brussels, have your umbrella ready. Now, if you're here at Myrtle Beach, put that umbrella away. It's been nothing but sunshine and 80s. And then if you want an umbrella, it's on the beach, as one of them beach umbrellas, which I personally don't use because I enjoy the sun. I want to get dark. So
that was excellent. Great transition there, Mark. Do you might have a future in weather forecast? Yeah, I don't know. Something like that. I can't wait till we start getting some exciting weather in like the hurricane season or something.
Yeah, I can't wait for that either.
Get you a green screen and all that good stuff. So.
There you go.
All right, then we go to the Dairyland State of Wisconsin, Paul Brittle. We never know. Is it winter? Is it summer? Is it spring? Because we know it's never officially summer until about the 4th of July. So how are we looking?
It was actually in the 90s, but it's been beautiful since then, 60s, 70s, sunny. It's going to be a little cooler, high 50s, but no complaints here. It's better than what it's been for basically the entire year so far, so I'm happy.
Lawnmower is still out. Haven't put it back away yet.
We've got a few mows under our belt already.
All right. So the honeydew list has gotten a little bit longer as it does when the snow goes away, although it just turns from shoveling to mowing, so I don't know how much longer it really gets. So here in Phoenix, no surprise. Hot. We're over 100. It's been in the low 100s, high 90s. A lot of sunshine. Dry as ever. And I've got this stupid tree outside of my place that sheds these really stupid, these dumb little green buds in April and May. It's like a seasonal tree. And it finally stopped shedding. You have no idea how many times a day I have to sweep the walkway because it's just gets littered. And finally, it has stopped dropping the buds. This is a very celebratory time of the year for me every year. Right around this time, late May, is when things start getting better and there's less clutter on the walkway. So hot and sunny here in Phoenix. And then our friend Harry in Kamloops, Canada, didn't actually send me the weather, but he is an honorary member of this podcast. So I looked up the weather in Kamloops, and it is raining right now. Cloudy and rainy. With a high of 61, low of 43, 70% chance of rain, and that's rained since yesterday through today, and then there's still a 40% chance tomorrow and Saturday. So that is your weather. Let's talk some Packers football. This is a longer one, man. We got a lot of entrants here. Don't come at us and tell us people don't like the weather. We've got a lot of people that said they wanted their weather read on our show. So, all right. So we're going to, since we missed the Jair news cycle, obviously, we go around the horn. Everybody give me your reaction to the Jair signing. Good. Okay, perfect. So that's done. Excellent. So now we're going to talk about what's next after the Jair news. What is the next thing that's going to hit the news cycle? So it could be a signing. It could be a free agent coming in. It could be an internal move that the Packers make. It could be a cut. Could be just a story. So let's do this thing. Mark, well, since you're the furthest east, I guess we'll start with you. And you intro your idea in whatever way you want. And we'll go around the horn and we'll talk about all three of our opinions on what's going to be the next big Packers news story.
Okay, well, I was going to go with Aaron Rodgers' next love interest, but I said, nah, we don't want to do that. So who knows, right? It's not exciting, but I think it's going to happen. I really do. I think the next headline that we read is going to say something like, Packers ink Alan Lazard to long-term deal.
Okay.
Now, they offered him he hasn't signed his tender yet, which to me is kind of interesting, and that's kind of why I came up with this, because why hasn't he signed it? That tells me that they're probably working on something long term, right? He's going to sign it. He can't go anywhere else because no one offered. I mean, he could have signed with another team if another team would have. While he was restricted, if someone gave him an offer sheet, they would have had to give the Packers a second round pick. And they could have signed him. Well, that didn't happen. So he's really no longer – he can only negotiate with the Packers. No other team can sign him. So he's either going to play for the Packers or he's going to retire. So I don't think he's going to retire. So I kind of – again, I'm just adding – I'm reading the tea leaves, Paul. And I think they're working on a 3-4-year deal. I don't know how much it'll be for, but whatever the fair market price is for Alan Lazard. Obviously, the coaches really like him for everything that he does, not just as a receiver. He's a great blocker. He's willing to play special teams. He's a good guy in the locker room. I think he'll be a good influence on Christian Watson and Romeo Dubs and the kid from Nebraska that they took in the 7th round. So I think they want Lazard around for a couple more years. Perfect time to give him a 3-4-year extension.
He's the perfect storm of value. He's not going to break the bank. and he's proven to be a good enough part that he can play a role in this team. I mean, he's showed up and been a leading receiver in a couple of games, and I know that Aaron Rodgers isn't going to be the quarterback forever, and so that contract, if that happens, Mark, would span the transition from Rodgers to whoever else is going to play, unless Rodgers does surprise us and ends up playing more than another season or two. But he checks all the boxes, like you said. And that's not surprising to me. I would be in huge favor of something like that. And right now the Packers don't have a lot of pressure on them because, like you said, he can't go anywhere at this point. But eventually he's going to. And some team, probably in the NFC North, because that's what they love to do, is pluck former Packers, will throw a bunch of money at him. So the Packers have to try to get something done here. Paul, I'm sure I know you're a fan of Lazard, but as far as Mark's move there, I mean, is that higher or lower on your list? Or what's your thought?
I hadn't thought about that option much at all, but I really like it. And as Mark said, as he laid out with his tea leaves, it is kind of interesting that, you know, nothing's been done yet, because it's not like he has options to go, like he's speaking with other teams, working out, you know, a different deal elsewhere. It has to be in Green Bay, as you said, Mark. So that makes a lot of sense. And as we look ahead to 2023, you know, the only players that I can say confidently right now that we know are going to be on the roster at that receiver position are Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs. You know, Samori Toure could be, but he's a seventh round pick. Not going to guarantee that either. Cobb very well could be in the final year. Sammy Watkins is on a 1-year deal. So the wide receiver position, even though they just spent 3 draft picks on it, the outlook moving forward doesn't necessarily get it a ton better in terms of at least depth, and depth you want to rely on at the position. And as we all know, Alan Lazard provides so much to this Green Bay Packers team. And there is the, you know, his role in theory without Davante Adams, or his impact, is going to expand this year. So by Green Bay locking him up this summer before he has, you know, a career year potentially, you know, that could save them money in the long run. And from a salary cap perspective, with a second round tender, I think it's around $3.89 million. And because it's a 1-year deal, that's what the cap hit is. But if they sign him to an extension, you know, that could potentially, depending how it's structured, because, you know, the Packers very low cap hits in the first year and then it goes up, that could actually save them not a huge amount, but a little bit of additional cap space that they need as well. So, I mean, for all the reasons we've discussed, I think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I like that. I like that too. And I mean, like I said, there's nothing that there isn't really any reason why you don't do something like this, especially with the depth chart being what it is. They've got to have some guys that are going to hold over. And yeah, I mean, you'll have Watson for a while. You get Alan Lazard. You maintain some of that continuity. He's still young. I mean, he's been on this team for a long time, but he's still a young guy. He's got good size. Everyone forgets he's a big dude. He's 6'5". I mean, he's actually a little bit bigger than taller than Christian Watson is. So you got a couple of big bodies out there now. And I mean, Watson's obviously a little bit more athletic, but I like that one. That one kind of came out of, I was not expecting that one. And Mark,
I wasn't either. That was a good one.
That was a good one. And then I know, if you have another one, we can come back around. Did you have another one? I think you said you had a couple.
Me?
Or was that your biggie?
No, I was kidding about Rodgers. That's the only one I had.
Okay. All right. Wasn't sure if there was another one in the hopper.
No. Rodgers. All right, I was going to put Aaron Rodgers with some other famous actress or something, but I said, I'll leave him alone.
We were going there. We're going the TMZ route, right? Well, I can I can assure you, if Mark didn't do it, that neither Paul or I are going to be talking about Aaron Rodgers' life outside of the gridiron. So, spoiler alert, if you were hoping for that.
Alan Lazard, I'm sorry. Lazard's only 26,
mm-hmm.
believe it or not.
Yeah.
He's young.
Yeah.
26 is young. I mean, for a guy that's been in the league, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There are rookies coming out that are 24, you know?
Yeah.
So, well, the Packers, 26 is pretty young.
No, it is. And that's why the Packers like to draft, I think, players. I mean, Kenny Clark was an anomaly young. He wasn't even 21 years old. But because they want, especially on a first-round pick, they want to be re-signing a guy when he's 25, 26 years old versus 27, 28 and closer to that 30-year-old mark. So with Lazard, though, they kudos to the scouting and the personnel team to find him and pluck him away from Jacksonville when they did, because he turned into a really great player on the Packers. And I don't think that happens if he goes just anywhere. I think you got to put the player in the right position, right offense, right coaching staff, right focus. But listen, he's been a guy that they have been able to feature. I mean, I know I'm going way, way back, but let's remember, and I don't remember if Adams, I know Davante Adams did not play in the finale in 2019 when they had to beat Detroit to get the two seed, to get a bye week. And then if you go back to the, I think it was the Monday night game earlier that season, Lazard was the man, not Davante, in that game. And I don't remember if Adams even finished that game. So he's capable of stepping up. I'm not trying to make him sound like a one. He's going to replace Adams or anything like that. Or he can't consistently be the go-to guy. But if he ends up being your leading receiver, he's perfectly capable of carrying that weight. That's what I like a lot about Lazard. It's a no-brainer. That was a really good one, Mark, because like I said, everybody right now is just so news-centric where we keep hearing the same names. You know, Jarvis Landry's out of the mix now, but like it was Landry's name, Odell Beckham Jr., Julio Jones, all of the usual names that were out there, and what will the Packers do? Because everybody just thinks about the here and now, but you know, that one's future-looking. So I like that one a lot. And then we go to Paul. I don't know if Paul's going offense or defense or both in a way. What you got for us, Paul Brettel?
So mine's probably not very exciting, so I'll take it a step further. But my next headline is that following OTAs, the Green Bay Packers make a cut at the kicker position.
Ooh.
Right now, they have three kickers on the roster. And reason I'm making this, you know, guess is because reading some really definitive tea leaves, Rich Bisaccia told us that he only expects to go into training camp with two kickers.
Yeah.
So he's going to use OTAs as that measuring stick to take a look at, I'm guessing, particularly J.J. Molson and Dominic Eberle, you know, in addition to Mason Crosby, if he's there. I'm not sure if he usually attends OTAs or not. But Bisaccia said, you know, he still has to double check with LaFleur and Gutekunst, but he expects to have just two kickers heading into training camp. So I think the next big headline is going to be, if you want to call it a big headline, is that they cut one of those kickers, Eberle or Molson.
Tell us which one. Which one? Come on.
I'm getting there.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm going to guess that they cut J.J. Molson. Reason being because Eberle at least has, it's not a lot, some NFL kicking experience. He also spent time in Las Vegas with Rich Bisaccia. J.J. Molson, he hasn't kicked in an NFL game and doesn't have that relationship connection, which I do think plays a factor to some degree. But we'll see how OTAs and all that plays out. So as I said, that's not very exciting. So we'll take it a step further. Because if you make a cut, you're at 89 players instead of 90, which opens up a roster spot. So going through some of the positions the Packers could address, and no, Jason, you mentioned it, receiver is on everyone's mind. I just don't see it happening, or at least I don't see it being Julio or Odell Beckham. I think Julio's out of their price range, you know, even if he does sign later in the year. Because when, you know, in terms of actual cap space that they have available, you know, Kenny Ingles has it around, I think, $2.8 million when you factor in other expenses that are coming down the road. So I know we see after the Jair extension, you know, it's $15, $16 million in cap space. It's not what they truly have. And then with Odell Beckham, I mean, we don't know when he's going to be available. This is the second ACL injury since 2020. And when we look at the receiver position, six of those spots are accounted for. Lazard, Cobb, Watkins, as long as he's healthy, Dubs, Watson, and who am I missing? Amari Rodgers. Those guys are going to be Green Bay Packers. That doesn't mean they can't keep a seventh if they were to sign, you know, another receiver. But that also doesn't include Samori Toure, who they spent a draft pick on. Could be a, you know, special teams player, as a gunner, has experience at that. So I just don't see, for those reasons, I don't think it's going to be receiver. So defensive side of the ball, the two positions that stand out to me are cornerback and edge rusher. So I'm going to go with that they add to the edge rusher position. And one player that I have my eyes on is Justin Houston. Spent last season with the Baltimore Ravens. Still tallied. He played just under 600 snaps, according to Pro Football Focus. And here in Green Bay as a third edge rusher, he wouldn't need to even play that much here. You know, his snap count might be closer to 300, 400, you know, depending on how often they want to use him. But, you know, he could be that, like last year, Whitney Merciless, third downs, obvious pass rushing situations. He still totaled 40 pressures and 6 sacks last year with the Ravens. He's 33 years old, and I looked up his contract with Baltimore. He signed for $1.75 million with a $1 million signing bonus. So that's a $2.07 million cap hit. The Packers can afford that. Now, caveat I'll add to this is my gut says that they want to see how things play out at edge rusher first this summer through, you know, at least see how training camp goes, maybe a preseason game or two before adding to it. You know, maybe they get some addition, you know, more than what they think they're going to from Jonathan Garvin, you know, entering his third season, or Randy Ramsey's returning. He missed all last year with an injury he suffered during the summer. Of course, they drafted Kingsley and Nagbar, but so that's what my gut says, that they might wait a little bit. But I really like the potential that Justin Houston could add, again, kind of similar to what Whitney Mercilus did last year. And I know they added Kingsley and Agbar but in the draft, but as Mark mentioned before we started recording, he's still a rookie. He's still a fifth-round rookie. That's, you know, there's risk involved in relying heavily on someone at that point taken in the draft. And then behind him, again, it's just a bunch of question marks. They're as good as Gary and Smith were last year, there was just such a drop-off, such a lack of impact plays when those two weren't on the field. And, of course, going from those two to anyone is going to be a drop-off, but it was too much. Even Jason Rebrovich, the outside linebackers coach in April, meeting with reporters, he didn't say that specifically, but he alluded to it. And so they need a third and a fourth guy to step up, and I think adding a veteran presence to that, you know, on a cheap deal is the best route to go. So what are your guys' thoughts on that?
I saw someone say that Rebrovich, when he's talking, is a podium pounder. He's a podium tapper, so he gets excited, which is what you want in a defensive coach. He gets fired up. I mean, I have some thoughts. I mean, I'll just say this. The kicker thing doesn't – I'm not worried about that. The Packers will figure that whole thing out. I know that was where the start of your thoughts go. But I have some thoughts on – the pass rush situation, but Mark, I'll let you go first, and we'll give your thoughts and your reaction there, because I know that you always have a lot to. When it comes to kickers, Mark's your guy.
I agree. I've covered football. I covered, you know, the Eagles for 32 years, and I followed since I've been following the Packers and Eagles, whatever. Nobody brings three kickers to camp. I've never ever been in a camp.
It's like if you have three kickers, you have none. It's like if you have two quarterbacks, you have none, right? That's too many.
No, I mean, it's just too many. You don't have time for three kickers, and it's there's no reason. I mean, so yeah, they're going to cut one of the kickers, and I thought you were going to say Crosby. I really did.
I thought you were going to say. I tried to lay it up that way.
you had me going for a second. Yeah, Molson would be the one. I mean, if you know they're not cutting Crosby, if you think Crosby at least deserves to go to camp, right? So yeah, they're going to keep Crosby. And like you said, the other guy whose name I forget right now,
Eberle.
Yeah, Eberle. He does have a connection with the coach, and we've seen so far they're letting Bisacci have his little way with special. I mean, they brought in Nixon because that's his guy from the Raiders to be a good special teams ace. The punter, he always liked. He said he always wanted.
Yep.
So they're letting him decide. So Eberle's got to have an edge over Molson, right? I mean,
yeah.
Even though Molson spent all of last year on the practice squad, I think that was more of a COVID type emergency thing than it was that they saw him as a future kicker for them. I mean, I don't know. So yeah, Molson would. So for part one, I'm with you 100%. For part two, I'm with you again. Yes. They need a third edge rusher, and I'm not buying Randy Ramsey even a little bit. Garvin, I had hopes for when they drafted him. I thought he could develop. Well, listen, it's time now. This is it, Jonathan Garvin. You've had 2 years. You've shown me very little. Now, again, it's a tough position. You were a seventh-round pick. You're also young. Young guys.
I think he's still 23.
Here. Yeah, he's very young. So, but listen, this is your third year, so you better show me something. And that's what, and like I said, I think, you know, like you said, they'll wait and see and camp and stuff. I'm not ruling Garvin out completely, but it's time, John. It's time. I love Kingsley. How do you say his last name?
Anagbar.
I love him. I love him from South Carolina. But he's like we said, fifth round pick. If he's your fourth guy, I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very okay with him being your number four. Rashawn Gary, he was the 12th pick in the draft, not a fifth round pick, the 12th overall pick. And his rookie year, he was the fourth guy. So that tells you something, right? They don't want to put too much on a rookie. They didn't put too much on a guy that they spent the 12th pick on. They don't want to put too much on a fifth-round pick. So, yeah, let him be your fourth guy, but they need that third guy. And if it's not Garvin, then they better go get somebody. And Houston's as good as – yeah, I mean, that's – he's affordable. He's been productive through his career.
Durable.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the guy I really want – I said this off the air before we started, but he signed. I would love to have Kyler Fackrell back here. Mm-hmm. I really would. He's perfect in that role. You know, he was the third guy when Gary was four. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think he'll ever have the kind of year he had when he had, 10.5 sacks that one year?
Yeah.
That was kind of a fluke.
2018.
But, yeah, but, I mean, but he's a guy that he sets the edge well. If he plays enough, he can get you 4 or 5 sacks, I think, you know. But he signed with the Raiders. And now, though, if the Raiders decide they don't want him and cut him, I'd be all over him. You know what? That would come later in camp, obviously. Like when cuts are made, but yeah, Houston's as good as anybody else. I mean, I haven't done an extensive look at who else is available, but I would have no problem with Houston.
Yeah, you could do a lot worse than Justin Houston for sure, right? If you put the right player in the right position, right number of snaps, as I've said before, you can have a really good recipe there. So as far as the kicker thing goes, I think it's time that the Packers change their mindset and let the coaches have some input. You don't want to give too much away. Obviously, it's Goody's team to build, and Matt LaFleur is still the head coach. But part of the problem is you start picking players, and if you don't get enough input from the coaches who are coaching them, well, then you're going to run into some issues at some point. Now, I know he was a head coach, and it's a completely different story when you're the head coach and you're responsible for everything. But, Mark, you're very familiar with this guy. Bill Parcells said, hey, if you want me to cook, I want to say in what the groceries are going to be. Speaking of which, I know it's completely off topic, but since we're in the off season here, do you have any, and I'm putting you on the spot, and if not, it's okay, but like any good Parcells, they don't have to be related to that, but any good Parcells stories or anything you can remember from your time in Philadelphia and talking to him? I mean, he was always witty and quick like that, but that was a good point. Give me some input. If I'm going to cook, I want to say where the groceries come from.
I want to buy the groceries. Yeah. My one Parcells, I mean, I have a few, but I like Bill Parcells. Always have. He was almost the head coach of the Packers, you know.
Mm-hmm. They hired Mike Sherman and said, yep.
No.
What was this before that?
Really?
Holmgren, okay.
Yeah, because Wolf and Parcells were very tight. And but Parcells just didn't – that's when his health was an issue a little bit, and he wanted to take some time off. My Eagles Parcells story, and it's his – I don't know if either of you guys have ever read this book called No Medals for Trying. It's a great book. If go to the library or look it up on Amazon, you can probably get it for a couple of dollars on Amazon. Very good book. It's Parcells – The writer, Jerry Eisenberg, spent a week. Parcells gave him like unlimited access for 1 week prior to an Eagles-Giants game. And it's fascinating, all the insight and but it leads up to this Eagle-Giant game at the Meadowlands. Pretty big game at the time. They were both battling. I think they were battling for first place. And that was the game. And all during the week, in the book, how Parcells is stressing to his team how windy it's going to be that day. Well, that's the day that Randall Cunningham had a 93-yard punt, or 90, 91, 93, whatever it was, 90-something yard punt, which is still an Eagle record. And it was, not taking nothing away from Randall, but it was windy. It blew over David Meggett's head, and that turned the whole game around. I believe the score was tied. They have the Eagles backed up, in their own end zone, basically. Randall punts out of the end, but it goes 91 yards. And then the Giants, the Eagles defense forces a 3-and-out. The Eagles get the ball back. They score and win. But that the whole that book was based off, leading up to the Eagles. They talk about Cunningham. And it's funny, like a lot of the stuff that he prepared for and that's in the book happened in the game. So mm-hmm. Bill Parcells, he's probably – of all the coaches I've dealt with through the years, I got another here. Let me tell you this, Bill Parcells. This is kind of funny. So he's coaching the Jets at this point, and I'm working for the Trenton Times, which became NJ.com, New Jersey paper. And we have a local kid playing for the Jets or in camp with the Jets. So we send our high school writer up to do this story on this kid that's trying out for the Jets. Undrafted kid, I believe. I'm sure he was undrafted, but he signed as a free agent. And our guy goes up there to do a story, and so he's in the Parcells' post practice press conference, and he had told the Jets PR guy what he wanted to do, and the PR guy told him, "Listen, let the regular guys ask all their questions. When they're done, ask Bill about your guy, and he'll be fine." So he's there, and he's all done. So Bill's done, and the guy asks about the whatever the kid's name was. And Bill gives him a good answer, "Oh yeah, he's working hard. He's doing this. He's good at that. He needs to work on the a good two paragraph quote for the kid's story, right?" And now the kid's done. He walked. Thanks, coach. Appreciate that. He's walking away. Bill says, "Hey, when's that story going to run?" And the kid says, "Well, I don't know. I'm going to write it today. It might go tomorrow, maybe Sunday." Bill says, "You might want to run it tomorrow." Run it as soon as possible, meaning the kid's getting cut. He ain't going to be here much longer. So get that story in the paper while you can. Yeah. Which is pretty cool of him to do, I think,
Yeah, that's funny.
That's a Parcells thing, though. That's cool. Not short on personality. And that was cool. Like, it did have a special teams tie-in there with Cunningham and the punt. But that's the thing is, coaches that have the wherewithal to think about stuff like that, it's little intangibles like that that make such a big difference. And I just feel like the special teams on the Packers has been ignored for such a long time. I mean, I thought Ron Zook was going to be better, and then by the end of it, it was just disgusting. It was like, get that guy out of here with the bathwater after Mike McCarthy was gone. And just that last game in 2018 was so pathetic and disappointing. And then Meninga comes in, and it's just a run back of that with Slocum before Zook, and just all of the failures and catastrophic problems that they've had. Yeah, Bisaccia better have some input into what's going on here. Now, obviously, I don't want two kickers on the roster going into opening week. It's like figure out who's kicking off, and obviously Crosby's kicking field goals if he's going to be the guy. But
I do like two kickers in camp, though.
Yeah, of course. But do you remember when they brought in Giorgio Tavecchio and it was Mike McCarthy said, "Oh, there's going to be a kicker competition"?
Well, whatever. You have to say that.
Yeah.
No, I don't think I've criticized the Eagles for years for only having one punter or one kicker, because even if the guy's making the team, you don't want him using his leg up every day in camp.
Mm-hmm.
Let that other guy take those kicks in camp. Let the other guy, when you're working on your punt coverage, right? Well, you don't need your regular punter taking all those punts. Let the other guy get some work.
Right.
One thing I'll say about Crosby, and I know we talked about this at way before free agency, we were doing our cut him or keep him. I just think there's too much risk involved for a team with the expectations that the Packers have in relying on a J.J. Molson or a Dominic Eberle, in what hopefully becomes, a Super Bowl push for the season. And I think last year, too, there were to it than just Crosby missing field goals. We saw bad snaps. We saw bad holds. The blocking was poor. So I think that not to make excuse for lack of a better word, but I think that Matt knows that, Rich Bisaccia knows that, Brian Gutekunst knows that, and again, relying on Dominic Eberle, who has two career field goal attempts and five extra point attempts, when it's January in Lambeau and you need a 42-yard game winner to advance to the NFC Championship, that's a whole different ball game, and you'd rather have that experience. Now, hopefully, they can figure out something for kickoffs, or if Crosby can improve in that area to get it through the end zone so we don't have as many returns. But I would be shocked if he's not the kicker.
Yeah,
even with the cap space that can be saved.
Winter, say no more than January at Lambeau Field. The guy that's done it before. I mean, I don't know about kicking a 55-yarder anymore, but January at Lambeau Field, if they're still playing football and it matters that much, you want the guy that's got the experience, and hopefully Crosby can be that guy and carry it on. If it's not him, then that means that Eberle or Molson, if it ends up being him, had a phenomenal camp and surprised the heck out of everybody, and that would be as surprising as any. But as far as the pass rush thing goes for me, it kind of goes along with that same thing where I know Whitney Mercilus had an unfortunate injury midseason and he tried to come back. That's my biggest issue right now is it's so hard to plan for injuries, and you can't plan for who's going to get hurt and not. But I worry about bringing in someone like a Justin Houston because it's such a long season. And when you get up into the over your 30s, that is not old by any stretch. But when we're talking about playing professional football and the grind that it takes and the toll it takes on the body, I worry about an older player like that. Are they going to be ready to go at the end of the season unless they come in fresh mid-year? And that, but then is the conditioning going to be there? So that's my only concern. We saw Whitney Mercilus get hurt. It wasn't a conditioning issue, but we saw him get hurt and then he wasn't able to come back and then he ended up retiring and not playing anymore. So it's fine to bring in some experience, and there's a lot of other things that Justin Houston would bring to this team or any veteran. But that's my concern is I think our goals are a little bit different here. We're not as concerned about September and October. You have to win those games. They're important. But our goals here, as far as what we're talking about, and I know the Packers' goals, are to be playing late into January. So the durability is important there, but agree the depth at pass rusher is it needs some help. And as far as Jonathan Garvin, yeah, it's time to show out something there. But fortunately, in his case, it's not a situation where he's like an Oren Burks who was a third round pick. Now that was an Oren Burks' fault that he was a third round pick, but the expectations go up when you get the higher you get drafted. So Jonathan, yeah, but it's true, Mark. What is it? By the third or fourth year, you know what a guy is and isn't going to be, right?
Right.
That's the general.
That's what I'm saying. This is Garvin's year. He's got to, and again, I'm not expecting him to be, I'm not expecting him to push Smith or Gary for his starting job by no means. But he can't, if he can be the third guy, then great. And you don't have to go out and get anybody. But I right now, what he has shown me so far, no, he can't be that third guy. He's not good enough.
Right.
Now, but he has this camp and this one of the OTAs and mini camp and training camp to show me. Because I remember when they made that pick, I thought, oh, this is a good seventh round pick. Mm-hmm. You know, seventh round. You know, you know, because there was potential. And he was young and he's athletic and he has the good body size and shape and all that. But he's got to get it done now. It's time.
Yeah, well, that's the interesting thing about the draft. I was going to say, Paul, and I'll kick it back to you. It's just real quick. Whenever they say, oh, the Packers got a steal and a great pick here, and if it's rounds 5, 6, and 7, and it's like, listen, there's so much variable in those rounds there, and so it's, you know, it could go either way. So I think, like you said, and Paul, when you said with the receivers too, we have to temper our expectations for some of those younger guys.
Yeah, I was just going to say, because Mark, you kind of hit on it, is they have Gary and Smith. They don't need to find a guy. They have two guys. They have two dudes. They need 300 snaps, 300 pass rush snaps over the course of the season, 25 a game, somewhere in that ballpark, just to provide a supplement to when Gary and Smith aren't on the field. I looked up these numbers. Those two are on the field 68% of the defensive snaps last year. You know, that's pretty standard among edge rushers. It's a heavily rotated position. But when you consider a 30-year defensive snaps are without one of them on the field, that's a lot throughout the course of a game. You know, that might end up being 20, 25 snaps. And one other note on Justin Houston, he is a Georgia Bulldog, so he's probably going to be a Green Bay Packer.
There you go. Exactly. It's a fit the trend, fit the mold for this year. Well, hey, if he's not available, I'm pretty sure since he never missed a game in his career, if you just call up Julius Peppers, bring him in on a Saturday and take a picture and sign him and put it out on Twitter at 11 o'clock on a Saturday and surprise the heck out of everybody again. He could probably still play.
Julius could still go out there.
The ghost of Clay Matthews, who just turned 36, I believe.
Well, Peppers is older than Matthews.
Mm-hmm. Wow, but he's also very much more durable somehow. I mean, he could probably still play.
Perry.
He was, okay. Now you lost me. I might have to edit that out later when I'm splicing this thing together at the end.
He's younger than both of them.
Yeah, he is, but younger, but very much less effective for sure. So,
well, talk about durable. Yeah. That's what ended his career with injuries.
Yeah, and he never played a snap for anyone. I don't know if he was in camp with anyone, but never played a snap for anyone else.
Never signed with anyone else. But I'm telling you, the guy I want is Kyler Fackrell. Get him back here. He's with the Raiders. I'm looking at the Raiders depth chart. He would be their third guy right now, maybe fourth guy. They have Max Crosby and Chandler Jones as their starters, and they still have that their first round pick in 2019, Clelin Ferrell. So Fackrell's probably the fourth guy.
Yeah, they took they took Ferrell ahead of Rashawn Gary. I'm wondering if they're kicking themselves there.
They took him ahead of a lot of people.
Yeah,
the fourth overall pick.
Oof.
They also have a third round pick from last year, Malcolm Kuntz. There's a chance Fackrell doesn't make this team.
Yep.
I tell you what, I'm sure he's not making a lot of money. If I'm Goody, I may call the Raiders and, hey, you going to keep this guy? I'll give you a seventh round pick.
Sure. You could make that move now and just make it happen, because he's got familiarity with at least some of the defense. I mean, it wasn't his defense. It was Pettine's defense when he was here. But
true.
He's at least somewhat familiar with Green Bay, for whatever that's worth. I mean, he was a decent
played
dude
with the Chargers last year, Brandon Staley.
Well, you know what? He made the game sealing play on that game against Carolina. I was in the house for that one at Lambeau right before December in 2019. Stuffed him at the goal line. I think he's the one that made the initial hit on that play that ended that game and helped the Packers win it. They couldn't get in on fourth down. So
I actually think, remember they were talking about the Packers wanted a first-round pick and a player. They traded Devontae to the Raiders, but they weren't allowed to get a player. They had to take a second-round pick. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to think it might have been Fackrell, might have been that player. Paul's getting my jokes here, so I'm glad Paul's – Jason's not laughing. Paul's laughing, so.
Well, I can't see your face, CBC, because when we record, Paul and I are on camera, so I can see when Paul does this very deliberate lean to the microphone, then I know he has something else to add. With Mark, it's just a wild card. If he jumps in, he jumps in. I have to cut myself off. I have no idea what's going on, so we don't get the camera fee. We don't pay Mark enough to be on camera. No. That's 100% true.
I probably just don't know how to do it on my phone.
One time I was, I think.
You couldn't see me or something. You said yeah. I was on it. You saw my feet or something.
I was hoping to get a glimpse of the dog. So
I have a good dog.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it hasn't been raining or thundering, so she's
no. So
she's
okay. She's been good.
All right.
Hey, I got to tell you. All right, I guess speaking of dog, I got to tell you another story. Right, we've talked about my wife,
right,
not being a football fan or anything, but learning a little more every year. Right.
Right.
So she wants to buy this furniture for the balcony. We've been looking for a while. I don't know if you guys know this. That kind of stuff's way more expensive than you think.
Yes, it is.
It's really good. It's good stuff, but it's really expensive. So we were looking around to get these like nice chairs and the table and whatever, right? So she tells me, this is a couple days ago, she says, oh, on this, whatever, she goes, one of these sites, she goes, a marketplace or something. I don't know any of these things. Is there like a thing called Facebook Marketplace
or
something?
Yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, this guy's selling this. It's four chairs and a table, and it's a pretty good price. And I'm like, the pretty good price wasn't, to me at first, wasn't all that pretty good, but it turned out it was really good. So I'm like, all right, we really want it. Yeah, just make him an offer. I don't know how we're going to get it, but yeah, well, okay, if you want. So I don't even look at it. He tells me it's nice. I believe. Well, guess what colors the furniture is?
Please don't say purple and yellow.
That's oh, God, no. I wouldn't let guess. It in the house. No.
Green and yellow.
Green and
yellow.
Green and gold. Green and gold. It's Packer color. It's Packer green and gold. And she said, when I get it, I'm like, oh, my God, I love this furniture. And she's like, oh, I didn't even think of that. Yeah, it's Packer colors, right? I'm like, yeah. She goes, I should have told you that off the go. I said, yeah, and you would have got it immediately. I wouldn't have been hemming and hawing for a while.
Yeah.
So now she says she wants to get, like, you know, you can put little pillows on the chairs. She wants to get Packer pillows now.
Okay.
He's coming around.
Yeah.
He's really coming around now. Man.
Good.
You know?
Slowly but surely.
Good. Yep. One step at a time. Build that roster. You know, draft and develop, Mark. Draft and develop. You draft it, now you got to develop.
I think he just likes Matt LaFleur, to be honest with you.
That's whatever works.
I don't know that for a fact. I think he's like, is that coach on TV again? I'm like, yeah. He's like, okay, so there we go.
Whatever anyway, works. So. All right, so then we come around to me and what's my thing. Well, I kind of
we didn't get yours yet.
Well, I kind of cheated a little bit earlier because I made it sound like I was kind of tipping mine, but I didn't because I was more looking for reaction. So mine is an internal move that I think the Packers will make because everyone's been talking. I've seen a lot of like, what do you think the Packers will do next on Twitter? Because that's what we do. As soon as the next guy is signed, we can't help but start sweating and pining over the next one. And I've seen a lot of Elgton Jenkins, but unfortunately his injury situation is going to probably make the Packers wait it out a little bit before they give him another deal. Now, he's... After this season, This is it. 22 is the last year of his contract, and then he's a free agent because he was a second-round pick, so four-year deal. So 2022 is the last year of his contract. So they certainly are going to have a decision to make at some point. I don't know when that's going to be, but, Mark, you made the point earlier when I said I don't think that they would bring Adrian Amos back. Was more kind of looking for the reaction there, because when they drafted Darnell Savage, everybody hoped Savage would become, you know, obviously the next as productive as Nick Collins. He wasn't going to be the next Nick Collins because Collins was really special there. But I think they were hoping Savage would be the guy. But it's been Amos who's been the guy. I mean, I think back to that runs, that big stuff that he made on fourth down against the Rams, a team that ended up going on to win the Super Bowl late in the season against at Lambeau, and how productive and how good he's been. I mean, when they signed Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, Billy Turner, Adrian Amos, who thought Amos would end up being the biggest producer of the group? Because Za'Darius is gone, Billy Turner's gone, and you could argue Amos and Preston Smith, you know, back and forth as far as how productive. But Adrian Amos has been the guy. So I think, and his contract is up after 2022 as well. So he's 29 years old. He's got 8 years in the league. Darnell Savage still hasn't turned that corner. I think Amos is very ripe for a contract extension. So I think Amos is probably going to be the next one that's going to get some years added to his deal, because like you said, Mark, no safety added in this draft. And there's not, as far as the Henry Black is gone, and I know Henry Black is not a key piece and he's not a big time contributor, but when you don't have the depth, obviously the team is read the tea leaves. They're telegraphing right there that they like the guys that they have. Well, then you better lock them up, because Darnell Savage is a free agent after the 23 season. Amos is a free agent after this season. What are you gonna do? What's your plan? So unless they have a plan on bringing somebody in or drafting someone, which the draft you never know, I think it's Adrian Amos in the backfield, because you've put this huge investment into all of your cornerbacks now. Why blow it by not having the safeties behind him? So, Paul, we'll start with you. Adrian Amos getting extended. I mean, I don't know what the years and figure would be. It looks like he's counting $12 million against the cap this year. I would assume it's probably going to be a little more than that, because the contract was done a while ago, and the Packers will figure out the money. But who else do they have at safety? I think he's a key piece they have to lock up.
I thought for sure that was going to be one of the moves already made this offseason. One, to lower the cap hit that you'd already mentioned. Two, he's 29 years old. So if even a four-year extension, I think he turns 30 later this year. Mm-hmm. So say he were to take out that contract, that's 34. But we know how the Packers structure contracts. They usually have a way out after 2 years. So I don't see age or anything like that being an issue. And I think I've said on here before, he puts the word safe in safety. He's just Mr. Reliable back there as a tackler, against the pass, against the run. That, like I said, that was one of the moves that I probably would have, or I did, you know, maybe not maybe expect is a strong word, but you know, certainly thought was a strong possibility. We'll word it that way this offseason for all the reasons just mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's just, and Mark, easy low hanging fruit. You called it. They didn't draft the safety. They need to lock this guy up, and he's not yet 30 years old. I mean, give me one good reason why they don't extend him.
No, I love Amos. I mean, that was a great signing. Yeah, I'm with you on that. That would, there's no reason not to extend him. And like we were talking prior about, you usually get an idea of who they like or who they not so crazy about by how they draft. I mean, you know, when they're drafting a lot of linemen, mm-hmm. for instance, you know, okay, Billy Turner could be gone, or this, you know, last year Lindsley was gone. You know what they're heading. You know, they didn't. And there were safeties available. You know, when mm-hmm. they took Wyatt, who they loved,
obviously. Scene was there.
Scene was there, and the kid from Michigan was Dexton there, right? Hill, they were both there. They could have had one of them. Nope, they decided not to. I think they were both there when they moved up for Watson. Were they both there when they moved up for Watson? I believe so.
No, yeah. They were both gone.
Oh, for Watson.
Scene went to Minnesota. Hill took Cincinnati.
Yeah, they were off.
All right, never mind. Okay, but they could have had him with the Wyatt pick.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then there were other safeties too. Besides, I mean, they were the top two after Hamilton. They were the top two. But there were other guys, a kid from Maryland.
Nick Cross.
Some people liked Cross. There were a few. They came to Penn State, Brisker, who they could have gotten. They ignored it. They ignored safety. So that tells me that they don't see a need. They're going to keep Amos and Savage around for a couple more years, you know. And they did give Savage the qualifying offer, which we some people weren't sure.
Fifth year option.
So they did. So they do have him for another year. But yeah, it's time. Amos is a guy. I would think of all the potential free agents to be, he'd be number one on my list, I believe. Like you said, Jenkins has another year, right?
Yeah. Well, this is the last year. This is the last year of his deal. Oh. But I think the Packers, I don't see any unless something wacky happens with his recovery or he has like just a terrible surgeon or, you know, which is we would know by now. Because I think he was at the Bucs game with some of the other guys. It was not that that's an indication that he's healthy, but he seems to be okay. I think we would have heard something by now if there was an issue. So I think the Packers have that earmarked, but that's probably for later. They probably want a little bit more information on how he's recovering and if he's going to make it, if he's going to be able to come back around pup time, which is what? It's still 6 weeks that he has to miss?
Mm-hmm.
He'll miss at least the first 6 weeks of the season. Now, I don't know that he'd be ready to go by then. But if he's healing faster than normal, I mean, we're all still kind of, you know, I guess not shell shocked, but just the whole David Bakhtiari thing has us all a little bit more conservative in terms of what we expect for players to come back. But Bakhtiari was also an outlier there. I don't think most players go through some of the issues he had getting back on the field. So they'll get that thing done. But I just, like I said, why would you put so much risk on the back end of the defense when you've got all these great? You brought back Roswell Douglas. You got Jair Alexander signed. You hope Eric Stokes takes a huge year two jump. And then you're going to put the equivalent of, you know, and obviously Savage and Amos are better than these guys. But, you know, some of the safeties that they've had in the, you know, in the years past where you had to look up their name because you couldn't remember them. So it just, you know, Jerron McMillan, there's one that comes to mind right there. Great hair, but now I don't know. So
Just to play devil's advocate, do you think there's too many big deals on the books where they have to make a tough decision and maybe that means not extending Amos? Because, like, I looked ahead to next year, so it's like a month ago, and six players cap hit-wise account for $125 million in cap space next year.
Who are those six?
Rodgers, Bakhtiari, right. Clark, Jones... Maybe Campbell, Preston Smith is something like that.
Jones is done.
Right, and that's where I was going. There's ways to create cap space. We know that. But they still have to extend Jenkins. They're still going to extend Rashawn Gary. You know, Jair, I know his cap hit small in 23, but going to get bigger those following years. So, again, just playing devil's advocate to see could that lead to a difficult decision and go, maybe we just can't make that work.
Well, that's why you do it now, maybe. I don't know. Depends on, I mean, I don't know what he's going to be asking for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he's asking for crazy money, then no, you can't. And I don't think, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, if he wants, you know, money that they can't afford, then nothing, but again, I just base it off they didn't draft a safety anywhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess they did in the seventh round. They took the kid, but he's a special team. He might even be more linebacker than safety.
I think LaFleur said he's going to spend more time with the inside linebackers.
Yeah, he's too big. So they really, I mean, unless Vernon Scott becomes more than what I think he is, they don't. There's not a safety on his. I don't even know if they have a good third safety right now. So, yeah. No, they got to. I know what you're saying, Paul. You can't keep everybody. And you can't pay everybody.
Right.
I hate to say this, but they did draft a bunch of linemen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe Jenkins is the guy they don't extend. And I hate to say that.
Well, that could be, but if he is truly going to be the right tackle of the future, you can't let a starting caliber tackle go. I could if it's a guard.
Well, I agree. I don't want Jenkins. I'd love to see. I'm just saying, they did address multiple times the offensive line. They took a kid in the third round. They took another one in the fourth round, and they took the kid from Penn State, who everybody says is a steal, in the seventh round. They didn't take a safety in any round.
I think the offensive line, they almost had to, because say Jenkins is healthy, your backups would have been Cole Van Lannen, Jake Hansen, Lucas Manette.
How about Josh? Josh is pretty good.
Okay, so you have one. So you have one swing tackle, but
right.
How many teams have four good tackles? Nobody.
Yeah, that's true.
Some don't have two. So I mean,
but Tom and Ryan could both be guards. That's where I was going with that.
Right. I mean, yeah, that's the thing. They're so I love this offensive line. Mm-hmm. I really do. I think this offensive line is good, young, deep. I'm hoping that a guy like Ryan is better than we don't know. We haven't seen him play yet, but just everything I hear about him, he's going to be pretty good. Same with Tom. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be a very good backup at worst. Mm-hmm. And then you still have Runyon and Myers and Newman and, mm-hmm. and Yash and even Van Lannen. I mean, I always defer to you on him because you saw him play a lot more in college than any of us did. I mean, if he's your ninth or tenth guy, mm-hmm. that's not bad. mm-hmm. Like I like this offensive line.
Absolutely.
And then, if you throw when Jenkins does come back, wow. I mean, they're going to be there's going to be a couple good linemen not starting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know who.
Yeah, it's a good problem to have. I mean, it's a good problem for them to have if they have it, but get hurt. But at this point right now, I mean, I'm just tunnel vision. 2022, like we did the last 2 years. Okay, let's go out and win it. And every year there's been some reason why they haven't done it. But if they're going to get it done this year, then just make sure. And if they think the window, if they have a window of next year as well, you got to figure it out. I just, at this point right now, I'm ignorant to the cap. I love not knowing much about it and how it really works. And I love the fact that Russ Ball always seems to find a way to make it work. So it's like, look, just get Amos taken care of for the next couple of years so that we're not sweating in bullets and worrying about what the safety position is going to be and that you've got all these great corners up front, but nobody can keep anyone in front of him on the back end. So
he also seems to like it here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Amos?
Yeah,
he seems to like Green Bay. He seems to like the team.
Well, he definitely doesn't miss Chicago the way he tweets. So
yeah, he wouldn't go back there. I don't think he's going back there.
Right. Well, you don't make that mistake twice as a player unless they're the only team calling up. But yeah, I think he genuinely does. He enjoys it. He's turned into a good Green Bay Packer, and hopefully he's. I mean, there's a bunch of guys on this team that I want to see get a trophy as members of the Packers because they just have done such great things. A year ago, Za'Darius would have been one of those guys. Now I can't wait for him to watch Green Bay hopefully standing on a podium without him lifting up a trophy. But Amos would be one of those guys for sure that came in and helped solidify things. You know, you always appreciate free agents that come in and kind of hang their hat in Green Bay. And I mean, no, not everybody's going to turn into Charles Woodson. That's kind of the once in a lifetime type of a deal. But a guy that comes in and makes an impact and really like a Peppers, you wanted those guys to find success and accomplish what they came to Green Bay to do. Cause it's like, look, it's not the flashiest town to live in. It's cold as heck in the winter. So I get all that. There's plenty of fun things to
do.
I'm
just kidding.
And I'm biased though because I appreciate those things, and that's why like cold weather games, I'm not worried about going to them. It's almost kind of more fun for me because I grew up in that weather, so there's a nostalgic aspect to it. But when you didn't grow up in it, I can see how that might factor in there. But that's my take on that whole thing. So these were pretty good. These were pretty good. So Alan Lazard gets extended. Adrian Amos gets extended, and Mason Crosby loses one of his top two big leg competitors in training camp. Rich Bisaccia has a voice in the room, says Paul Bredel. So, all right, Paul, we'll start with you. Since we usually start with Mark, we'll start with you. Dairyland Express, Cheesehead TV, before we sign off, what is up now and what is coming up?
So I've been doing closer looks at each of the draft picks, made my way through all them, took a look at the positional need prior to the draft, given that prospect's position, what their potential role could be as a rookie, some stats you need to know, and then some pre-draft reports. So, and now I'm on to the undrafted rookie class. Just knocked out the first one, B.J. Baylor, running back from Oregon State. So that's the big thing I'm kind of working my way through right now. And then just kind of stuff that pops up. I wrote also about how the slot cornerback position, how it's going to be most likely a by-committee approach. There isn't going to be one guy who fills that role like we saw the last couple of years where that was primarily Shannon Sullivan's job. So just kind of seeing what comes up, and then also wrote about the kicker situation and what Bisaccia had to say to reporters about going from 3-2 and all of that stuff.
Good deal. And Mark over at Packer Report.
Up there now is a story on what I think the three biggest, what we've kind of a little bit what we talked about tonight, the three biggest needs on the team still after, you know, after what on paper was a good draft, a couple free agents, free agent signings, what their biggest needs are. And then coming up later today, I'm not sure yet. I'm going to sit down tomorrow this morning and I'll come up with something, and we'll have that up there as well.
And it will be phenomenal and fantastic, and it'll probably end up being one of your better pieces because it'll come to you in the middle of the night.
Right.
Perfect. And if there's enough big news and stories going on, there'll be a Quick Slants podcast at Game On Wisconsin on Monday. Otherwise, we'll wait until something good happens and we get through some of these doldrums of the offseason of the NFL. But in the meantime, thank you, everybody, for listening in. Thanks, everyone who sent in their weather. If you want to get your weather read on the show, send it to either Paul, Mark, or myself. The DMs are open. Send it on over our way or tweet at us. Otherwise, everybody, enjoy the rest of your week and an upcoming weekend. Hope you're enjoying the warmer weather wherever you're at. And as always, go Pack, go.